Upheaval, Breaking Point, Chapter 30, Fire and Fury. 3 days had passed since Twilight and Vanguard's public flogging. With no quick victory in sight, the Woven settled down to a proper siege, starting off by cutting off supplies to Bastion City. Squads of bolters were placed in strategic positions, ready to shoot down any Pegasus attempting to fly in or out of the city. Despite the destruction of several of them, the catapults continued to fire upon the walls in the slow process of bringing them down. Woven miners began to dig tunnels to undermine the structural integrity of city's defenses as well. Earlier, they had discovered tunnels already made and tried to use those. In response, the defenders of Bastion City dug in and prepared for a defensive war. Rations were strictly controlled at the start to make sure that no supplies were wasted. Unicorn Magi guarded the walls in shifts to weaken catapult attacks with telekinesis. When Woven miners began to move in, the Legion spotted the tunnels and sent ponies to countermine. They discovered the already made tunnels and sent ponies to collapse them on top of the Woven. The result of the clash of tactics was a temporary stalemate that greatly displeased the King of Wovengard. At the heart of his army, Fenrir pawed the snow-covered ground in a rage. As far as he was concerned, stalemate meant that Tirado was winning. To further worsen his temper, he had noticed that Luna's scent had moved far, far away. He did not put it beyond Tirado to have Luna nearby to tantalize him, then send her away as an insult. Fenrir knew that he had to strike a blow. It did not need to be the spectacular shattering of the city's walls, but it had to be a blow against cursed Tirado's legion so he could remind all of them, Woven and Thunderfoot alike, that he had the upper paw. While he favored a savage frontal assault above all else, Fenrir knew the importance of subtlety. A direct attack was not practicable. The defenses were still too strong. While he believed that if he hauled his entire army at the city, he could overwhelm it, he decided against the idea. This was going to be a prolonged campaign. A single city captured was not enough. He planned on marching straight into Cursed Celestia's capital itself and seizing Luna once and for all. To do that, he had to preserve his troops as much as possible. His first few moves required a different approach.
"Moonshadow!" he growled.
The other Woven, even the mighty Mercury that surrounded him, quailed at his voice. At his command, his trusted ally appeared. Moonshadow had just returned from a disastrous mission that left her stranded on the moon for 1,000 years. Her most recent mission, however, had been a success, and Fenrir counted on that trend to continue. She appeared as a white, horned Thunderfoot ablaze in black flame. Moonshadow always did have a preference for taking on the guise of their enemies, and this was no different. "I am here, Fenrir," Moonshadow replied. She addressed him as an equal rather than a servant, a privilege given to no one else.
"Does Cursed Tirado know that you've returned?"
"I have hidden my presence well. He thinks that I was destroyed completely when I was expelled from his sister."
"Good. I want you to hurt his legion. Sneak into their city and hurt them. Remind the Thunderfoots that they are not safe. Leave before Tirado catches your scent."
"I will." As Moonshadow left Fenrir's presence, the other Woven backed away from her warily. They could still smell the scent of Thunderfoot around her, but it was an odor tainted by something so unnatural that none of them dared to even stand close.
"You think you can just dance your way into Bastion City?" Pyre Valor asked from within.
She had allowed Nightmare Moon more control while they remained among the Woven. She didn't know how her hated enemies behaved, and she didn't want to do something stupid, such as provoke their king.
"Of course not," Nightmare Moon replied. "But you can. You lived there before becoming a legionnaire, didn't you? You would know a thing or two about your city's mighty defenses."
"You've been peering into my memory."
"Not really, but thank you for confirming what I thought."
They left the woven camp in silence after that. They were a good distance from the sentries when Nightmare Moon spoke again.
Angry again? You've the temper of a newborn volcano, Pyreveller. I wonder how you managed to not incinerate your friends for such a long time.
You know nothing of friendship,
Pyre growled. Out here in the open plain, Nightmare Moon allowed her to control. The mere term was not something she quite grasped, even after the time she spent with the spirit. She was still getting used to her new state of being. Being possessed was more than just carrying a passenger. Nightmare Moon didn't sit inside a room within her, fiddling away with some sort of metaphysical controls and moving her body about like a puppet. They were fused together, two wills sharing a single body. Even establishing and maintaining control was a complicated affair. The two of them didn't take turns. Pyrovella felt as if she had complete control over her body at all times. However, whenever she would so much as lift a hoof, she had to contend with Nightmare Moon's will. If Nightmare Moon had other plans for that hoof, she would experience some resistance. She guessed that it must be the same for Nightmare Moon. Moving at all required a degree of harmony between them. If they couldn't agree on what to do, then their body would be stuck. An unspoken system had developed between the two of them over time. Nightmare Moon seemed content to allow Pyre to move about most of the time, making suggestions whenever she deemed it necessary. Pyre guessed that so long as she behaved in a manner that aided the Woven, this would be the case. The sharing wasn't complete, however. Nightmare Moon heard her thoughts and could use her magic, but the opposite wasn't true. Clearly, equality wasn't part of their bargain. Pyre pushed out those thoughts for now. Fenrir had given them orders, and she was willing to do as he asked. She didn't have to do it alone either. Far from the city and the Woven camp was a small tent where one pony waited. When the Woven made their way to Bastion City, Pyre had asked Blademane to run ahead and make camp away from the Woven army. He had complied without a single protest, as he had done since she decided to do this. Blademane was sitting in front of his tent and tending a small fire. As soon as he saw Pyre, he stood at attention. Pyre felt a twinge in her chest whenever she saw that. Blademane continued to act as if she was his captain, even though it was clear that they were caught in circumstances where that title meant nothing. She had asked him already why he stayed. All he answered was,
"I am on your side."
"I am going to infiltrate Bastion City through an old entrance I know," Pyre said. "From there, I am going to launch a quick raid to shake them up a bit."
"Do you need assistance?" Blademane asked.
Pyre nodded. "It's a small passage where Vanguard and I played in as children," she replied. "It's well hidden and should still be there. I can't bring a large group, so you'll do as backup."
"Understood. When do we leave?"
"Nightfall."
The past 3 days had been relatively easy for Twilight Sparkle. She was starting to get the hang of boulder catching, and she had managed to stay out of trouble. She had also been granted access to some of the Legion's surviving spellbooks, a chance she happily jumped at. Finally, she was going to read actual spellbooks from the Barrier Lands. Paravella's notes had been an important source of spells, but she can now move past beginning spells that had been cast aside. She expected the first book she read to be an eye-opener to the Barrier Lands' approach to magic. And it was. She had expected it already, given that these were spellbooks collected by the Legion. There were no mustache-growing spells here, only page after page of combat spells. The variety of ways by which the unicorns of the Barrier Lands have developed to hurt and kill was outright frightening. Fireball, with all its heat and intensity, was just the beginning. Just by flipping through pages, she found a spell that sucked all the water out of its victim, a spell that boiled the blood within its victim's veins, and a spell that filled its victim's lungs with poisonous gas. Was it really necessary to try to be so creative in order to kill an enemy? However, Mage Captain Owlside had her put away the advanced combat spells.
You have a reliable offensive spell, Recruit Sparkle. I suggest you pick up some defensive spells first. Shield is a good starting point, he had said.
Twilight considered it good advice. She knew a shield spell already, but having some options would be good. She started on some basic defensive spells and worked on them whenever she had some free time. At the end of another day of boulder catching and training along with the other recruits, she made her way back home where she would spend more time studying.
Hey, Sparkle!
Twilight looked to her side to find some of the other recruits in her group waving at her.
We're going to get drinks over at Stormbrew's new place, one of them called out. Want to come along?
Twilight shook her head with a smile.
I'll pass, she replied. I've got some more studying to do. Bookworm,
one of the recruits said with a grin. They went on, talking among themselves. Twilight rounded the corner of one street with a little hurry in her step. It was close to evening, and she didn't want to waste any time before getting to sleep. She was still a few more corners from her new home when she stopped. By the next corner, she spotted Vanguard Clash and Scarlet Rabbit.
Vanguard! She called out.
The two saw her and waved in acknowledgement.
Are you two still on duty?
She asked.
No, Scarlet answered. But the captain here had a hunch or something and wants to check something out.
Twilight looked to Vanguard curiously.
There are ways into the city besides the main gates, Vanguard said. I remember an old passageway by the western walls. I want to check it out in case it might turn into a problem later.
Want to join us?
Scarlet asked.
Scarlet, this isn't some outing,
Vanguard said sternly.
Why not? We brought Applejack with us the last time.
That has nothing to do with this,
Vanguard said. He turned towards Twilight.
You should be resting. Your back hasn't fully recovered, I take it.
You're the one with 40 lashes still on you,
Twilight replied. She had wanted to know more about what Vanguard did around the city.
Besides, I don't mind coming along.
Great,
Scarlet crowed.
The more the merrier.
There is nothing merry about this,
Vanguard insisted sternly.
We're just going to check if that passage is still there. I'm not even sure if I'm remembering it right.
The three of them made their way to the western portion of the walls as evening continued to settle. It was already dark by the time they made it there. Vanguard led them through a veritable maze of smaller side streets, leaving Twilight completely lost.
So, how do you know about this passage? She asked him.
I used to play around these parts when I was a colt, Vanguard explained. Pyre and I found this passage and used it to sneak out of the city at times.
Why would you want to sneak out of the city?
Survival camping when we were younger. Dueling tournaments when we were a bit older.
Dueling is illegal within city limits,
Scarlet added with a grin.
Twilight raised an eyebrow. Duels, as in you fought other ponies?
I thought it was a good way to test ourselves before we joined the Legion,
Vanguard replied.
Pyre wanted to throw herself at every aspiring unicorn as soon as she learned her first combat spell.
Did you ever get caught?
The other participants had their routes discovered. Ours never was. Maybe some pony has already found it and closed it up. Or we could have a potential entry point to the city.
It seems there's a lot of...
Twilight said. Before she could continue, Vanguard raised a hoof to stop them. They were in front of a deserted alleyway. She was a little taken aback at the scattered rubble in it. It seemed that this place was used to store old construction equipment. Bits of wood were scattered about, along with old pieces of scaffolding and sacks of broken stones. But as she looked ahead, she realized why Vanguard and Scarlet had stopped. At the end of the alley stood two ponies. One of them was a white unicorn with a long, wild black mane. The other was a large, brown earth pony. Twilight recognized them at once.
Pyre Valor,
Vanguard growled. His hoof went to the two-bladed sword strapped to his harness. Twilight steeled herself for a fight. Pyre Valor looked shocked at the mere sight of Vanguard, but the shock was replaced by an angry glare when Pyre's eyes focused on her. Blademane stepped forward protectively.
Go for backup, Scarlet, Vanguard said right before he clamped down on the hilt of his weapon. Scarlet hesitated for a second before nodding and flying off. Twilight understood the decision. He was the fastest, and it fell on him to call up reinforcements. The moment Scarlet flew off, Blademane charged at Vanguard, who met it with a charge of his own. The two crashed into each other with a loud, metallic bang. Blademane had slammed his head against Vanguard's and kept it in place to prevent the two-bladed sword from slicing him up. Pyrovella's horn flashed dark red before she disappeared. Twilight saw a flash of red on top of a nearby building.
"Twilight, don't let her run around loose," Vanguard shouted. "But be careful."
Twilight nodded and cast her own teleportation spell, reappearing on top of the same building Pyrovella had teleported to. With Twilight Sparkle gone, Vanguard Clash pushed Blademane away and swiped at the brown stallion with his weapon. The blade cut deep between the plates of Blademane's barding, leaving a deep gash just between his right shoulder and foreleg. Blademane jumped back and hesitated. The narrow space would make it difficult for Vanguard to swing his massive weapon about, but he knew that his former captain had fought in similar situations before. His best bet was to keep at the center of the two blades and beat down Vanguard with his tramplers. The narrow alley should keep Vanguard's swings to short ones. The two of them charged at each other once more. Blademane encountered another problem as he butted heads with Vanguard. His former captain's nightsteel full plate was much stronger than his regular barding. His champron dented on impact, causing stars to burst in his vision. He ignored the pain and reared up to strike with his front tramplers. Vanguard mimicked the move, locking them in a shoving match with their forelegs against each other. The blades stuck out just above their forelegs. Blademane put his entire weight into shoving Vanguard back. He was bigger than Vanguard, but the smaller stallion held his ground with ease. As Blademane continued to push, Vanguard suddenly fell backwards. The lack of resistance pulled Blademane off balance, sending him falling forward. Beneath him, Vanguard put both his hind legs against his belly and kicked upwards, knocking him into the air. Vanguard then turned his head to one side so that Blademane's unprotected belly would land on his weapon's edge. Realizing his predicament, Blademane twisted in mid-air to avoid being gutted. He collapsed clumsily on his back, just a foot from Vanguard, who had already rolled to his hoofs. Blademane rolled in time as a two-bladed sword thrust into the ground just where his exposed belly was. Panting, he got to his hoofs. Blood continued to pour from his injured foreleg.
"You said the only pony who knew of that passage was dead." "That was him. It looks like we came upon the same idea at the same time. We're going to have to discuss on how you see the word dead."
Pyre ignored Nightmare Moon for a while and looked around from her vantage point. She didn't have much time to cause some damage. A few fire spells at a foot storage building should give the Legion a wake-up call. She thought of heading for the main gates and blowing them up, but that required a lot of empowerment from Nightmare Moon. With Prince Terrado so close, Nightmare Moon didn't want to risk it. And that was with regular gates. Bastion City's gates were now heavily guarded and magically reinforced. The Legion learned quickly from past mistakes, and Fangbreaker Fortress's fall was a very stark lesson indeed.
"Stop!"
Pyre turned around to find that the Purple Chosen had followed her. Her temper flared at the sight of the Legion mage coat on the miserable mare. She wasn't the only one to recognize this Night Sparkle, however. She also felt some of Nightmare Moon's realization as well.
"This miserable unicorn will be the first to..." "Stand down." "What? You do not command me, Pyre Valor." "I said stand down."
Surprisingly enough, Pyre felt Nightmare Moon's presence within her recede. She didn't know if it was due to her fierce resistance or if Nightmare Moon had some other agenda, but her body was now under control. She took a step towards her hated enemy, her horn already glowing with magic. She had a score to settle with this unicorn, a score that she wanted to deal with on her own.
Take off that mage coat, she snarled. I've never seen a bigger insult to the Legion. You are going to pay for this, Night Sparkle.
This coat is standard issue to every Unicorn Legionnaire, the purple unicorn replied, her horn glowing as well. That includes me. By the way, it's Twilight Sparkle.
Take it off, or I'll burn every inch of your skin.
Pyra's snarl turned into a low, dangerous tone.
You threatened a scared unicorn who stumbled into this land without knowing anything, Pyra Valor.
Twilight Sparkle replied. I'm not that same unicorn. The two of them faced off on a wide, flat rooftop, a couple of stories from the ground. The roof was covered in a thin layer of snow, making it a bit slippery.
Is that so?
A sphere of white-hot flames flew from Pyra's horn. Twilight answered with a fireball of her own. The two spheres collided between them and exploded, bathing the rooftop in searing heat. Twilight stepped back and raised a portion of her mage coat to protect her from the blast.
You think you've seen fire? You haven't seen anything!
Pyra Vella concentrated on another spell. Before the last explosion had even dissipated, she unleashed a barrage of meteors, each the size of an adult pony, and covered with glowing cracks, towards Twilight Sparkle's direction. She wasn't done yet, however. As a precaution, she cast another spell and hurled it right behind her. Half the rooftop erupted in flames, scattering bits of stone and wood across the entire area. One of the boulders had missed its mark and struck the building on the other side of the alley where Vanguard was. Smoke and flames began to spread from that building. When the explosion settled, she saw that Twilight Sparkle had disappeared from the spot. Even without looking, Pyra could feel Twilight Sparkle behind her. She wasn't worried, however. It seemed that her predictable foe had yet to notice her trap. On the ground, likely just beneath Twilight Sparkle, would be a small, pulsing red gem, a delayed blast fireball. A couple more seconds passed before it erupted, all but destroying the other side of the roof and leaving only the middle section intact. To Pyra's annoyance, Twilight reappeared to her side, her body smoking from several burns. Her teleportation had saved her life, but not without some of the flames actually reaching her. Pyra Vella quickly rushed Twilight Sparkle and slammed the front hoof into her face, knocking her down. Twilight was still casting a spell even as Pyra closed in. Out of desperation, her foe engulfed her in the telekinetic grip. Pyra's horn flashed with magic, breaking Twilight's telekinesis. She slammed another hoof onto her prone opponent's face, rubbing it against the rooftop.
That was pathetic, she snarled.
She pounded Twilight's face repeatedly, trying to take out an unquenchable rage.
Weakling! Chosen filths! They may as well let rats into the Legion!
The violent pounding only increased her rage. Pyra grabbed a hank of Twilight's mane with her teeth and pulled her hoofs only to hurl her to the ground to the opposite side.
Faced with an overwhelming attack, you predictably teleported towards the exact opposite direction it was heading towards. Did you think I wouldn't expect that? And using telekinesis? The first spell any unicorn thinks of a counterspell to when facing another unicorn? Moron!
Twilight covered her face with her forelegs as another assault of hoofs rained down on her. Her horn flashed briefly and her body was covered with an almost invisible screen of protective magic. Nevertheless, Pyra Vella trampled her opponent relentlessly, uncaring of what had happened back in the alley she had left Vanguard in. She noticed the quick spellcast, but didn't care. To her mind, armor was a weak basic spell, yet more proof of how pathetic her opponent was.
You stand against me as if you had a chance, she snarled. I fought unicorns worth 10 of you. When was the last time you looked at a unicorn and thought to yourself, how can I beat her? Miserable!
Pyra Vella's tirade stopped when her left foreleg refused to move.
That's enough, Nightmare Moon hissed within her mind. We've wasted too much time on this pony. Kill her and let's go. We can't harm the Legion much as it is, and Tirado may very well be upon us soon.
Pyra tried to lift her other hoof, only to encounter the same resistance.
Enough trampling. She's helpless. Burn her to a crisp.
Paris' horn flared with dark red light as she readied a killing spell. Before she could cast it, she heard the distant sound of wings flapping. On impulse, she jumped to one side just as a bolt flew towards her.
Hold still while I skewer you, Pyre!
Scarlet Rabbit shouted. He pulled another bolt from the case strapped to his flank and reloaded. Behind him, several Pegasi aimed their crossbows at her. Before they could fire, however, their target burst into black flames. A thick bank of black smoke quickly filled the burning remains of the rooftop. The Pegasi fired their weapons at the smoke, only to hit nothing but rooftop. The smoke shifted towards the alley near the building, moving as if it were a living creature. In the alley, Vanguard and Blademane were still fighting. Blademane was now sporting several cuts to his chest and forelegs. His barding was dented in several places, and he was breathing heavily. Vanguard was bleeding from one nostril and had several bruises just beneath the barding of his forelegs. Vanguard was just about to charge again when smoke filled the alley. Gagging, he stumbled out of the cloud. As quickly as it had appeared, the smoke seemed to flow right into the passageway at the end of the alley before disappearing. He looked around. Blademane was gone as well. He looked toward the rooftop where Twilight had teleported to. He saw Scarlet hovering about, directing Pegasi to help out in controlling the damage.
Scarlet, he called out. How's Twilight?
Pyro kicked her flank pretty badly, Scarlet shouted back. But she'll be fine, just some burns and bruises.
Vanguard shook his head. That can't bode well. He was thankful that he had intercepted Pyro Valor and Blademane before they could do any serious damage. All they had to deal with was a fire and some injuries. Right now he was torn between feeling stupid that he had brought Twilight along and ended up getting her hurt, again, and feeling relieved that Twilight was there to delay Pyre until reinforcements came along. He sighed and stepped out of the alley. He should, at least, help control the damage. The following morning, Vanguard found Twilight by her desk with several open spellbooks. Her burns proved to be minor, but she was still bound in bandages. Her face had also swollen badly, though it looked as if she had a hard time looking through the swelling around her right eye. She continued to read. The look of determination on her face made him loath to bother her. Around them, the rest of their friends were still asleep. The sun had yet to rise after all.
"Have you slept an hour at least?" he asked.
"I'm fine," she replied.
"Those spells are useless if you're too tired to cast them."
Twilight paused from her reading and looked at Vanguard.
"Then tell me what else I can do," she said.
Vanguard was taken aback by the fierce expression.
"You know her best. Tell me, how do I beat Pyre Valor?"
Vanguard let out a sigh before answering.
"Learning more spells is just part of the solution," he said. "You're a very book-smart pony. You need to translate that into fighting knowledge. Sharpen your reflexes and learn all the little tricks that will help you win."
"How do I do that?"
"The quickest way is to pit yourself against another unicorn. Throw yourself into combat often enough and you'll get better."
Vanguard expected hesitation from Twilight, maybe even some revulsion. He didn't expect grim determination. This could be bad. Pyre lit more fires than just the ones he helped put out yesterday.
"A word of caution, Twilight Sparkle," he added.
"What is it?"
"If you walk Pyre's path, you'll end up where Pyre is."
"I'll keep that in mind."
"Take it to heart. Keeping things in mind is why your face is a swollen mess."
Twilight didn't answer. She looked back to her spellbooks and buried herself in her studies.